So now it's time for us to listen to the experts. We will take questions at the end. I'm very pleased to have a panel of students here that I'm going to start a conversation with them, and then we're going to see if you have some questions for them as well. And let me go ahead and introduce to you who we have represented with us today. And we have right here from this side, Candace Drakeford. Wave to the audience, Candace. And Candace is from Forest Park High School. Sitting next to her is my technology support team, Candace Rawl. He's also from Forest Park High School. Christian, I'm sorry. That's Candace. That's Christian. I'm sorry. Christian Rawl. And then next to Christian, I believe, is Chris Robin. And Chris is from Governor Thomas Johnson Middle School in Frederick County. And next to Chris is Max Radbill. And he is also, both of you are eighth graders, right, at the same middle school. And then Sean McIntyre, who's also an eighth grader from Governor Thomas Johnson Middle School. So these are our expert panelists today. After we hear from their expert point of view, then we have some teachers and parents that are going to be joining us as well. Both of these schools did participate in the Speak Up survey, and I had the opportunity to look at some of their data, and it was amazing. It was very interesting, always interesting for me, but I'm sort of a data geek, in terms of looking at what the differences were and where there were some very interesting highlights. But I'm not going to put these particular kids on the spot. I'm going to have you guys speak today just from a perspective of the students that you know and maybe some of the things that you do. So just to kind of get started, we talked a lot about communications. Do you guys use instant messaging and email and cell phones to communicate with other students? Can any of you give me an example of something that you do on a regular basis?
Text messaging.
Text messaging? Okay.
Emailing. A
lot of emailing?
Instant messenger.
Okay. Same?
Pretty much everybody at our school has a MySpace, so.
Okay. Okay, so this is a question that I've been hearing recently or a thought that I've been getting from students. Are you doing Instant Messenger through a MySpace account, or are you doing it on another system?
Both.
Okay. How about in terms of connecting with other students outside of your school? Are you doing that type of activity?
Yeah. Connecting outside of school, I don't think it's changed bit since technology. I think it's just gone up, actually, because it's easier if you log on to your computer, you log on to Instant Messenger, and you've got your whole list of friends right there. You click on them, you send them a message, and either if they're on, they get the message, and when they come on, they get the message. They get the message either way, so you can connect with them quicker.
Okay.
I play a lot of online games, and I can play with somebody from, like, France. I play with a bunch of people from France once. I'm the only guy from America there, but I have also British people, and I have a friend on my friends list from Michigan that I talk to on a regular basis.
Okay. Anybody else have any? That's interesting what you're saying, Chris, in terms of the international game playing. Anyone else have any sort of that experience?
Also, with me, it's not just playing a game. A lot of the online stuff is there's instant messaging built into the game. And during one of my games, got into a fairly interesting topic with a scientist from another part of, not in the United States, but another part of the world, and just talking about all the research they're doing and stuff like that. It's not just gaming where you just go on and have fun. It's actually starting to turn into a multi, you have multi-levels to it. You can talk some of the new games. You can actually talk using voice over IP, and you just plug in your headset, and you just talk like you're talking to the person right in front of you. And so you're still playing, you're still talking.
Hmm. Okay, multitasking. Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah. In terms of one of the questions that we asked on this year's Speak Up survey, we always ask a number of sort of provocative, open-ended questions, was we asked students, would you be interested in doing a project, an online project or some sort of online collaboration with students from around the world or from a different country? Is that something that would be interesting? It sounds like you guys are already doing some online collaborations. Is that something that would be interesting? And if so, do you have an idea of what might be an interesting project?
I think it would be interesting, like, to see how you kind of connect with someone else who's, like, around the world. Like, it's so easy to get in touch with someone who's, like, in Spain or something. Like, it's just that easy. That, like, a couple years ago, you'd have been like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do this? I'm going to have to call this person. I'm going to get charged, like, all this type of money to call overseas, and, like, you might have to fax it or something like that. But now you just get online, and you're there. It's that instant. So it'd be pretty easy, I think.
So there's a scholarship I was actually looking at where you got a friend here and a teacher, and you work together, and then they would connect you to another group of students and teacher in India or the Middle East, and they would set it up all for you. You video conference with them, and you'd actually talk to them. And the question was, how would you fix world like hunger or something like that? Very basic topic, but it wasn't just fixing the problem or getting the idea. It was connecting with other students from around the world.
Do you guys have any ideas? Some projects that you might be interested in?
Well, in my spare time, when I'm on my computer, I like to make movies and stuff, play around with the camera on my computer. And so a lot of the time I'll go on YouTube and look at videos. A lot of them are from people from foreign countries, and so I'll comment on them and then talk, and we'll talk to them. So I think that's a good way to connect to people in other countries, see what they're doing in their spare time.
Okay.
You were just saying
something else. Same thing. Okay. You know, we had a lot of conversations here about, or started having some conversations, and there's more data from the Speak Up survey about what schools should be doing to make sure that you guys are well prepared for jobs and careers of the future. Now, I know for Christian and for Candace, you're a little bit older, so maybe you're already thinking about college and careers, but maybe you guys are too. Is there something that you think of that you want to make sure that your school is doing for you to prepare you for jobs and careers? What do you think is important for your school, whether it's high school or middle school or ultimately high school? What do you think those schools should be doing to make sure that you're well prepared?
I know at Forest Park, I'm in a graphic design program, and we have to go through like a 4-year program there. And I think it's our second year, we get our certification. Mm-hmm. So with that, if I can put that on a resume, then I'm already certified. I mean, that looks really good. And then if I go into college, like, you get to skip that introduction level because you already have that certification. So, like, I'm, like, completely prepared before I even get to my college level.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think it would be great if other schools, I don't know how many other schools offer that, but if all the schools offer that, we just have so many people prepared post-high school.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing, certifications in high school. I'm working on my sister's certification, and it takes 2 years, whereas college is a year, but you're progressively working through, and you finally get your certification, and so it shows up on your transcript. Also, my middle school down in Florida, they did a certification for being Microsoft certified. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, and so it was like 1995 Microsoft certification, something like that, or 1998. And so it wasn't terribly like what we consider a new technology back then. It was new technology back then, but not new technology now. So even though the certification is there, sometimes it's not the best option. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes good to get recertified in colleges, but it does help to get to that next level.
I'm going to get to you guys in a moment. This area of career and technical education is very interesting. I mentioned the fact that we're doing some specialized reports, and one of the specialized reports that we did just actually within the last 2 weeks was for Governor Schwarzenegger in California. He had a recent summit on career technical education, and so we were able to pull some of our Speak Up data, exactly what Candace and Christian are talking about in terms of the need for real true job preparedness, whether it is certification in addition to academic rigor or really pre-professional training, and we were able to pull some of our data for that. So we think that's a really interesting topic. Thank you guys for bringing that up. So for our 8th graders, what are you guys thinking about in terms of you hope that your school, your high school, will help you with in terms of preparing you for the jobs or careers you might be interested in?
Well, when I, my brother and sister went to the high school that I'm going to next year, and my sister was telling me about how there's a program at this school, and it's like an acting program, and you go through like acting and directing and stage, all this other stuff, and that really helps prepare for like major stuff, like the stuff I want to do after college. And I was thinking about it, and we kind of have that a little bit in middle school. We have the Red and Zulie program where we do stuff that's not taught in the classes.
Mm-hmm.
And the past 2 years, when I was in sixth and seventh grade, the Red and Zulie teacher took us to the Great Frederick Fair. That's the fair we have every year. And we made videos about different topics, and we would research it first. And we went to the fair and videotaped it. And so in seventh grade, Sean and I went to the fair, and we were originally going to do there was a monster truck rally. But there's no one there to interview. So we thought, okay, forget it. We have nothing to do. We'll just forget it and go back. But then we ran into then Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele. And so we interviewed him. And then the man who was running for mayor of Frederick was there too. And so we interviewed him also. And we put that together into a news package. And we started on our morning announcement.
Wow. Pretty sophisticated stuff. What do you guys think in terms of the value of good technology skills? Now, obviously, and the audience will agree with me, you guys are doing some amazing things with technology, and I can tell that just from the couple minutes of conversation we've had. But how valuable do you think it is in terms of having good technology skills for jobs of the future?
Really, really valuable, because pretty much everything that, at least as far as I know, unless you want to be like a construction worker, but even then you're going to use a computer most of the time you're working, because that's all anyone else ever uses. So you pretty much have to.
Technology, the usefulness of technology is increasing like every day. The farther that we get into the future, the more the technology becomes more pertinent. And so, whereas he was talking about construction, I was noticing a couple other days was on some of the bulldozers, they have like a little like tripod type thing attached. It's a GPS receiver and they can actually level out the land into a couple inches, level this. And so it makes it easy. Technology nowadays becomes easier to get access to. But what we know on how to use the technology is not increasing with the ability to access it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to learn how to operate basic technology helps you to learn more on how to operate the more sophisticated technologies.
So if I was to pose to you guys a question and said that you were in charge of designing that school for kids just like you, a brand new school, and I know both of you, your schools are very blessed with a lot of technology and obviously very wonderful teachers in terms of all the opportunities that you have. But let's say we were going to design a brand new school. What type of things do you think would be essential from a technology standpoint for that new school?
Probably a lot. Everyone would probably get a laptop. And there'd be classes more teaching how to use different programs. Because since everyone is using technology this time of the era, future and everything, you need to learn like the basics and everything. And once you move up each level, you learn more and more about each program.
Okay.
I think the students would be more able to choose what they want to learn about, and there's like classes that you need to take that just help you, but they would be able to choose more. There would be a wider variety of classes to choose from about different things like music producing and art and different kinds of art and all that other stuff.
Okay.
Like a more powerful network, one that like doesn't get buggy a lot, because another network at our school, as hard as we try, breaks down every other week. So something that's like streamlined that would help keeps, because like whenever we get a new person at our school, they have to put their password in. It's like this big rigmarole to get them enrolled in the system. Something that would be like a lot simpler would help.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing. Our network has had its fair share of crashes. One thing I've noticed with our network is that it's actually getting better. Whereas last year it felt like every day there was some type of announcement about teachers, you need to log out of your computers. Teachers, you need to log out of Class XP. And so now it's better for the teachers instead of having to stop class, run over to the computer, hit that logout button, and then start teaching again. They're now actually teaching and staying teaching us and teaching work. Also, to build a school, basically what our school has done, we have computer labs that are available to the teachers. They just have to sign up on a board, or don't know exactly how that works, but they sign up. They get, the teacher's told, you can come to this during certain days, just use the computers. And the students just hop right in. The teachers don't have to go over how to log in, basic stuff, and students know how to do it, and so they just hop in and start working right away. And so where projects used to take forever with the teachers, you would work in the classroom before the computers, and you went to the library and you got your research material. Now the students can do their PowerPoint and their research and their paper all on one computer all at the same time, while the teacher can still help the students. And now the students who don't have access to computers with our school, our library has access that they have. They can use the computers at school, and they can type up the reports or do their PowerPoint. So it's the availability of the computers, the access of how the students can basically walk in and say, can I use this computer? Yes, sure.
Okay.
I would have, if I got the chance, I would have, computers in the classroom. So, teachers don't have to really, sign up. Certain classrooms that I'm in already have the computers in there, whereas other classrooms, we have to actually get up and go to the computer lab. I think it'd just be more convenient. The other thing with the network, you need a more reliable one. I mean, ours is pretty reliable now, but the beginning of the year and then last year, it was just always log out of class or XP or whatever like that.
Okay. Well, some interesting ideas. I think what I'm going to do, I'm sure you're all biting at the bit to ask some of our experts some questions. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have our students sort of step back to the next tier and take a seat back there, and we'll bring up our parents and teachers, and then we'll open it up for questions for the whole group. So then you can pose your questions back and forth, okay? So, thank you.